I love songs that you actually follow the lyrics because you see pictures in your head, and you don't often get that with a lot of traditional kind of pop music. You don't.
I've got all types of different songs. I've written tons and tons in my time, and some tell stories, some are really serious. Some are just sort of throwaway pop songs, you know. Some are influenced by books, some influenced like that song just by their real life experience of some, you know what, in a pub or whatever. And just, yeah. I mean, my latest song, what's my latest song called? It's called Can't Run Away From Myself. Mm. I was lying in bed saying, thinking about moving to another house or another town. I was thinking, look, you'll always be taking yourself with you. Yeah. And I came up with that line, I can't run away from it, and just put it to music straight away. I can't run away from myself. Wish I could, oh gosh, run away from myself. Wish I could be somebody else. No matter what I do, no matter where I go, I can't run away from myself. And I did it sort of Americana, a bit like that. Although I thought, I know, let's make it a little bit more. Give it a twist. I won't say more interesting. Give it a twist. And so I put a sort of electronica background to it, so it sounds like a hybrid piece, you know.
With songwriting, I've asked quite a lot of singer-songwriters this over the last couple of years, and most of them will say yes. Do you ever feel that you get a song coming through you from the universe? It comes out so quickly that you sort of go, oh my God, where does that come? Some songs take ages to get down, and other ones you just go, doesn't even feel like I've written it. It feels like it's a gift.
Yeah, there's two sources on that of even better composers and songwriters than myself. Stravinsky, who wrote The Rite of Spring, he said, I am the vessel through which the rite passed. Which is if you don't know the Rite of Spring, it's a ballet basically, which when it was first performed in Paris back in, I think, 1913, it caused a complete riot. beat Bill Haley to it. Anyway, and the other one was Dave Byrne of Talking Heads, who goes, well, I'm just like an antenna. And you are, actually. I mean, it's weird. It's a weird process. It's sort of just, you wonder if you're going to write a song ever again sometimes. Yet something just occurs, basically, and you put together. And sometimes you have to try to get a proper tune. And, you know, there's written songs where I've written a tune. It's oh, come on, you can do better than that, you know. And it's like, actually, it's a song that I put on Facebook yesterday, which starts off with a blues rhythm. Gonna guess you better, gonna guess you even better. All by trial and error, this could last forever. So we're so hard to sever. I'm gonna guess you better, gonna guess you even better. And I started off as a blues tune. It's an old, it's called Note from Alexa. When the series new remind, I can't remember the blues, but it was basically following the blues pattern. And I thought, no. You know, I'll tell you why I'm lucky. Because, I mean, forget the religious thing if you want. Park it aside for now. But I'll tell you what, I was brought up singing hymns ancient and modern. And people say, you know, folk tunes is a treasure chest of wonderful melodies. And indeed, it is. But also, hymns ancient and modern and Vaughan Williams' English Hymnal is also just fantastic melodies. And I'm so pleased I came from that direction where I always think melody, you know, and something that's totally singable, that could be belted out like a lot of hymn tunes.
Well, you love your gigs and you were saying about belting stuff out. You like the audience to get involved feel part of what you're doing. Some bands just play and you've got to watch them. They don't ask you to sing anything. They don't talk to you. You just watch them. But you're not like that. You engage them from the very beginning. They obviously want to get more and more involved, as I saw on with Martin's video of you. Mm. So what do you get when you get up on stage and you play to an audience? Tell us about the feelings that you get.
I love it. I just love it, especially if there's a nice audience. I mean, life is what you make it when you gig. You turn them into a nice audience. You talk to them, you say hello and all that, and you bring them in. And sometimes it takes a while through the gig or a while. Sometimes they're with you almost immediately. That one, the gig you mentioned, it was fantastic. They were just there straight away. And it was just amazing. Yeah, oh, well, it was lovely. And amazing. But sometimes you have to work at them. I think people do like to sing, actually. I mean, no matter how shy they think they are, I think people like to sing as much as people might even like to breathe. You never know.
You need to go and see Stephen live, and I know we'll talk about what gigs you've got coming up at the end, but you're a big fan of Hotbox. I love Hotbox. They've been in to see us as well. I always forget the guy's name who runs it every single time. He'll be really angry, but I do like Hotbox. They do great stuff for youngsters and all age groups. It's all music, and that's what I like about it. You can go and see a band for a couple of quid, 5 quid, 10 quid. And it is important as an independent musician, as you will know, that people like your pages. It costs you nothing. Go along to a gig. Sometimes it might cost you a little bit, but it just means that you can put money back into creating more music.
Yeah. I mean, anyone listening, please, please, if you like, go onto Facebook. I'm also on Instagram these days as well. Just put in Stephen PH Foster Pilkington, Lager in the Glass, if you like.
Yes. What do you think of the current state of the industry, 2024? What are your thoughts on the music industry today?
Oh, my word. I mean, I'm one of those people who, in my 20s, managed to get a major recording deal once upon a time. And there was almost, in those days, a sort of career path. If you did enough gigs and got enough fans or whatever and did enough good songs and recordings, you could probably get a recording deal. Now, unless you've got about 20 million people following you on Instagram or whatever it may be, they're not going to touch you. No. Simple as that.
But you can make your own money, though. I mean, there's bands that we will never hear of that have got 150, 200,000 followers, and they've got a dedicated fan base of 200 or, say, 1,000 that will buy everything. And you can still make, as a musician, with that and never be heard of, but you've got your fan base.
Yeah, I mean, true. I mean, the record labels, really, I mean, they're owned by people who didn't really care at all about music. They just people want to make as much money as they could.
Yeah.
And now that Mafia has lost its grip, you say, to some degree, it's nice that, as you say, it's more democratic and people can DIY themselves and cheaply record stuff and things, which is to be welcomed, I suppose.
And across all age groups, that's the thing. It used to be, oh, how old are you? Oh, I'm 25. Oh, well, that's the end of that. Nothing like it now. You can be playing, and if you're out there and you've never played an instrument, you're 60 or 70, go and pick one up and learn it, because there's no age limit to getting up on stage and doing what you love. And there's an audience for you. There's an audience for everybody. And I think that's the best thing about social media as well.